What does the gospel have to do with your work? Ever thought about that? How does the gospel transform my job? My job. How does the gospel transform my rest? How should the word shape how we think about both? See, most of us don't ever... Well, I'll say, let me just put myself there. For the longest time, I never made the connection or thought about it or even asked myself those questions. I mean, you know, work is just something we endure so that we can have fun later. Work is just something that we do because we need to make money. Work is just something that we put up with for the sake of our family. And while rest is something that we think we do well, but how does the Word shape both of those? How has God been kind to you to help you see how the gospel changes your work and changes your rest? Well, why am I talking about this? Well, you know what the weekend is, right? What holiday is it? Labor Day. What is Labor Day? Party. No. And it's okay, it is. But see, Labor Day in its founding is a celebration of the American worker and the contribution the American worker has made to America. And whether or not you like labor movements and things like that, your 40-hour work week came out of that. Your 5-day work week came out of that. So anyway, but it's supposedly a celebration of the American worker. And so as I thought about that and as I thought about the struggles that I have to both work with a right heart and rest with a right heart, and as I think about some of the struggles that I know y'all have with that, I thought, man, that's a great day to talk about work and rest. So that's what we're going to talk about. And I want to put something in front of you to get you to think about and get you go home thinking about what difference does the gospel make in my work and in my rest. I put before you that we were created to, and we are empowered to, enjoy both our work and our rest. That God has made provision for us to enjoy our work and our rest. God has made provision so that we don't just have to say, hang in there, baby, Friday's coming. Or Saturday, or whatever the last day of your week is. God and the gospel change our jobs. God and the gospel empower us in our jobs to delight in both and to not just live for the weekend or whatever your day off is. We were created to enjoy and honor God in both our work and our rest. Look it back in Exodus. We're gonna look at just quickly and again just touching on the subject, but sort of try to touch on a biblical perspective on work. What will fuel our joy in work? Whether we make $5 an hour or $500 an hour, there should be joy in our work. Well, look back at Exodus. Look at this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor. But look in verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven, the earth, and the deep, and the sea. So 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all that was in them. I want to put something. We were created to work. I'm convinced we will have glorious jobs to do in new heaven and new earth. If you have this vision of the afterlife as this heavenly little fat looking baby cherub things and you floating around on these clouds forever, that didn't come from the Bible. Finish reading Revelation. Let's read Peter. We are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We were created to work. Think about before the fall in Genesis. God created man and put him in the garden. And he put a couch in the garden so that he could just lay on the couch and watch the garden grow. No, it says that, again, a whole sermon series, but God put man who was kind to add to man Eve and to complete him, and they put them in the garden, it says, to work and to keep it, to cultivate and to maintain it, to work. There was work to do before the fall. What's the point of that? Work is not a result of sin. Adam didn't cause us to have a job. God did. And see, Adam's job to which he agreed was to take this garden and expand it around the world. To cultivate God's presence and blessing and fellowship and communion through him and his descendants around the world. Be fruitful and multiply came before the fall. And I'm telling you, as a church, most of y'all know how to do that. We have a lot of kids running around here. But man, before the fall, was working for God in the garden. And you know what? Enjoyed it. Delighted in it. Was satisfied with it. Fulfilled in it. And he was a gardener. And he didn't make any money. I'm just sort of throwing things out there at you. Did you know that your work is worship? That'll change the way you think about it. Adam worshiped God by taking the task God had given him and executing it to the best of the ability God had given him, according to God's commands. He enjoyed God and trusted God and served God in cultivating and keeping this garden for God. It was worship. Our work is a sacred task. Our work is worship. And this is just the first question. Do you think about your work that way? Do you think about your job as worship? I am getting up in the morning and I am driving to worship God by being a Marine, being a landscaper, being a doctor, being a lawyer, being a plumber. The King has put me exactly where He wants me in His kingdom. And I'm useful to Him right there, and I don't need to be or have to be anywhere else to be happy. Do you think of your job as worship? That will help you. It will help you. See, our calling. Think, when you think or use the word job, try to transform that. Because job just has this. I said Job, didn't I? It kind of has that connotation. Well, that's my job. I mean, I dig this, but this is my job. I don't know why God's mad at me giving me this job. Think of it. We need to recover the old doctrine of vocation. We need to recover the old doctrine of calling. That God has put us together in a certain way, and He has put a calling on our life. And when we find what we're good at, that means God has created us to be good at that. And that's the direction we should go. You should find out how you're wired and pursue that path. And some of you, by God's grace, had no idea how you were wired, but God still sovereignly led you into how He wired you. And it's proved by you're good at it. Now, you don't enjoy it because you don't see it as worship. It's just a job. I should have a better one. Someday maybe I will have a better one, or I won't have one at all. Do you see your job as worship? And whatever you're doing, the rest of your breathing days on this planet, you will have a job. Because you have a King who has a kingdom and has graciously brought you in to that kingdom. Work is a sacred task. Work is worship. Work is a calling. Listen, a plumber is just as much a calling as a preacher. A marine is just as much a calling as a missionary. And in fact, Marines, if you're Christians, you're missionaries. Missionary Marines. That doesn't mean you can't do your job. I said that last week. You're a warrior. You're just one for Christ primarily. And it feeds out. But all of our jobs are our vocation. Listen, our job is a very substantial segment of the way that we love God. And the way that we love our neighbor by doing a good job. By executing our mission, our mandate, our vocation in a way that glorifies God, we serve Him and we serve our neighbor. We love God and our neighbor by being a good worker, by doing our job. Now listen, let me stop. Just because you don't get paid doesn't mean you don't have a job. And in fact, you do get paid just differently. Moms have one of the, I said this before, all the time. I try to say it all the time. Moms have one of the most important jobs on the planet. If you're a stay-at-home mom, you are not less than. You are, in my book, more than. And your job is to make disciples right there in that home. And Dad, you're part of that. You don't get off just because you work 40 hours a week. Or Mom, that situation may be flipped. Mom might be working, Dad stays at home. Parents, team, doing what we challenged the couples to do this morning. But I want to challenge you to go to work tomorrow as a kingdom builder. I want to challenge you tomorrow to go to work as a worshiper. Because if you're a Christian, if you're trusting in Jesus, you have every right to go forward in that confidence. And you have an obligation to go forward in that confidence. God has you where He wants you tomorrow. And you have everything you need tomorrow to have joy, peace, satisfaction in that. And be on mission there. The mission is not just for the preacher and the missionary the way we talk about people. You are all on mission. You are all have an assigned place in the kingdom, whether that's in the home or wherever you are in the workplace. That is your assignment by your King to be on mission. God has put you in exactly the right place for His mission and for your joy. If you'll let the gospel show you that. And that's where I want to transition. First of all, I want to ask you a question, just point out something very clear. Why did God take 6 days to create heaven and earth? He did not have to. He could have spoken it all into existence, fully functional, running. Matter of fact, you don't know that He didn't do that yesterday. And you just think you've been living all this time. Except unless you read this book. And God tells you what He did. He created in 6 days and rested on the seventh for a lot of reasons. But one of the ones He identifies in this command and other places is to set the schedule for us. God set the pattern. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. We have 6 days to get our work done. And thankfully, because of some other factors, most of us have a 5-day work week. So we have a day to work at home. Yeah, I got you in trouble on Saturday, didn't I? Honey-do list. Do them well. We have 6 days to do our work. See, we think we work 5 and 2. Woo! And if all your stuff's done at home, hey, go to the beach on Saturday. But God set the pattern 6 and 1. Okay, I see that. Scripture presents that. And He actually, did you know that? Did you catch that? He commands us to work 6 days and take one off. We're better at one than the other most times. But what makes our work joyful? I just want to touch on these things because these things will trip you up. What takes away your joy in work? Working for money. If you're doing your job that you're doing just because it'll pay you more money, if that's not the way God's wired you, miserable. Working for money. Here's another one. Your identity comes from your job. This is tricky, guys and gals and boys and girls. You are not, if you're a doctor, I'm just going to use a doctor. You are not a doctor who is a Christian. You are a Christian who is a doctor. And that makes all the difference in the world. Your identity is Christ, kingdom, mission. Because you won't, especially bring my Marines into the picture or whoever, you won't always be that job that you're doing right now. Your identity doesn't change when you go into the secular workplace or wherever you go. You are a Christ server. You are a Christian. You're in kingdom. Your identity is not your job. Let me ask you this question. Here's a quick way to know if your identity is your job. How do you look at the trash collecting guy? How do you look at the lowest among us? Do you judge them? Look down on them? Assume bad things about them? How do you look at the richest among us? Well, I certainly want to be that instead of that. Why? Because it's about the money and it's about the identity and it's about the fame. If you'll let the gospel recapture you so that you're working for Jesus, you're not working for money, you're not working for status, you're not working for fame, you're not working for retirement. Nothing wrong with retiring. But if you set your happiness off unto the day you retire, gospel needs to be doing some recalibrating. My mom retired about 4 times. She couldn't stand it. She went back to work. She was a nurse, and that's what she was. That's God's vocation and calling on her life. And she tried. She said, I've cut all the grass and played all the bingo. I'm going back to work. She was miserable. Are you working for Jesus? Let the gospel recalibrate your thinking. Are you working for Jesus? Colossians 3, 24, 23 and 24. Look at this. I think we have a slide for it. Now look at this. Exactly where you are, this is speaking to you. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, including yourself. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. You're a Christian. That's what you're doing. You're either doing it badly or well. But if you'll get that mindset that, you know, what I'm primarily getting up to do in the morning is serve Jesus. Because He's King. And by His grace, I'm in His kingdom. So I'm one of His citizens of His kingdom. And guess what? He has put me exactly where He wants me. God has put you tomorrow exactly where He wants you, in His kingdom. So you know what that means? You're serving the Lord Jesus Christ and you are part of His kingdom while you pick up trash or plum or marine or doctor or, yes, even lawyers. Some of those are Christians too. Y'all don't get mad at me if you're a lawyer. You know some of your kind are not very good, but anyway, that's true in everything. I'm just picking at you. You're in the right place. It's just like your wife, if you're married or husband. You didn't marry the wrong one. God is sovereign. He put you in the right relationship. You might have made a mistake, but He can sanctify and redeem that. You didn't. The job you have is the right one for you to have all the joy and satisfaction and fulfillment that you want if you'll see it the right way. See, you are an instrument of the kingdom. He has assigned you and placed you in His kingdom exactly where He wants you. And where you are needs the light and salt of the gospel. And He's using you there. Recalibrate. I'm working for Jesus. This work will be joyful because I'm serving my Savior. He's providing for me, yes. He's leading me, yes. He's feeding my family, yes. He might take me to another job in the future, yes. But tomorrow, give us this. How did Jesus teach us to pray? Give us this day our daily bread. What's the implication? All you need. All you need to be happy and satisfied in Jesus is daily bread. You are in the right place in the kingdom. You are serving the King. If you are doing that, you are changing the world in your job. You don't have to stand up here and do what I do to change the world. Please don't do this unless you are sure God's calling you to this. Because you won't make it. You would die. But same in your job. If you do a job you're not wired for or called to, it's miserable. But even there, you can glorify God until He shows you how He's wired you and puts you in the right job. But some of you know you're good at what you do. You're just not taking joy in it because you don't see it in light of the gospel. Look at Ecclesiastes 2:24. There is nothing better for a person that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. That's hard work. This also I saw is from the hand of God. Enjoyment of toil comes from the hand of God when we rightly interpret our job in light of the gospel and who our King is. Psalm 90, verse 17. Let the favor... We got to pray for this, y'all. We have to be willing to be formed. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. God, help me to see my work as kingdom service. That I'm exactly where you want me and that you will use me in that place and you're there with me. And as I'm doing my plumbing or carpentering or whatever I do, I am on mission for you and I'm changing the world because you put me there. There's joy in your work that is purchased for you by Jesus if you see it that way. And as a Christian, as an unbeliever, but as a Christian, if you try to find joy where God has not tied it up, you are going to be miserable. If joy is in your money or your status or your possessions or your future, you're just going to be miserable. You won't find joy in your toil and you won't find joy when you get there. You had it. You have it because you have Jesus. Work on seeing work as kingdom service for our gracious King. And I think you can begin to find joy on it. If you leave the house tomorrow to go worship God because of His grace to you in Christ, I promise you, you'll see your job differently, you'll see your co-workers differently, and you'll see your customers differently, whatever that means in your situation. But work is a blessing given to God that we might love and serve and glorify Him. And listen, we are, at least the working part, we're better at the working part than we are the next part. We need to be shaped, and I'm just challenging you to go read Scripture and let the Word shape you on your job. But next, a biblical perspective on rest. Notice in that same commandment. And yes, the Sabbath still has an application for Christians. Now, nobody's going to stone you if you pick up a stick. Well, some Christians will, but ignore them. Jesus has fulfilled a lot of the Sabbath, but it's still a day of worship and it's still a day of rest. Okay? And we need to be thinking about rest and thinking about it seriously. But in Exodus 2, 9 through 17, after talking about working 6 days, it says, "But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God." Notice, to the Lord your God. "On it you shall not do any work. Anybody in your house," I'm going to skip over that. "For 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth. Therefore He blessed the Sabbath and made it holy." If you go back and read Genesis 2, He made a point to sanctify that seventh day. And this is just saying, remember that and keep it holy. What are you saying, Jeff? You were created And you are redeemed to not only work, but to rest. Nothing has changed in the history of redemption to make you a creature that doesn't need one day out of seven's rest. Christians are not superheroes. Did you know that? You want to find out? Work 7 days a week for a while. You will die. Or on the road to dying anyway. You were created and redeemed to rest 1 day a week. Slow down. Refresh. Rejoice. You need a day to focus on God and who you are in Him. You need a day to do that in the context of your family, as you have a family. You need a day to relax. You need 1 day out of seven. God created you that way. Now, I know you can't always make that happen. But as a habit, you need to be committed to the, He calls it your day. Sunday, in the Word, He says is your day. Okay, now are you awake? The Lord's day is what He calls it. So God is to be primary on Sunday. We gather for worship. That hasn't changed. It's primary over golf and beach and dolphins and whatever. God commands us for our good. Think about Israel. Let me go back to them. Think about Israel. They have been in Egypt for unctillion, a long time. Many, many weeks, no rest. Harsh taskmaster. And God is so mean, He delivers them from slavery and He says, you know what? You have to rest 1 day a week. How did that sound to them? Now, they're not in the habit of it, and you'll see them manifest that. But now you're not just suggested to rest. You commanded to rest 1 day a week. You've been slaves working every day, dying fingers to the bone. Wow, that is love. Why do we kick against such love? God says, I give you a day off. No, I can't do that. That's legalism. I got to work my brains out every day so I won't be a legalist. You see how stupid that is? Is that stupid or not? Well, really, just be careful that it's not nobody going to tell me what to do. Because that's in us, y'all. It's in us. Kids, it's in you. That's why you need parents who correct you, and lead you, and nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's in me. That's why my wife has to correct me. God commands 1 in 7 rest. He designed us that way. He created us that way. We need 1 day when we rest and worship. I'm not going to make a list for you what you can do on Sunday. Some people will. As long as you prioritize God in the day, if you get relaxation in the afternoon by going home watching a football game, if you don't know who the Continental View or Calvin's view of the Sabbath, we'll talk about that sometime. But there are certain things about the Sabbath that were fulfilled in Christ. All that strict regulation about absolutely can't even pick up a stick. You know, that's fulfilled in Jesus. But all of it's not taken away. We still have a day of rest and a day of worship. So we'll talk about that more later. Just suffice it to say, trust me, you still need a day of rest a week. God commands us for our good. He tells us how He's created us. Personal testimony. We tried to not do that. One of us, I won't say which, when I'm talking about me and Cindy, said, well, now I rest by working. I'll leave that right there. But we think like that. That was me, but no. But we think like that. I rest by... And listen, before y'all make fun of that, we do that on vacation. I'm going to take a week and rest. Get home, wonder why you need a week off to recover from the vacation. You nearly killed yourself. We don't know how to rest. We had to learn how to rest. Because it was ministry 7 days a week and working and house and till we just like, I'm dying. What are we doing? And God was like, kind of told you about that earlier. Read Word. Made you to rest 1 day out of 7. are you doing it? You're created and redeemed to rest. You're commanded to rest. It's a blessing. How do we rest? Quickly. By getting body rest. You need body rest one day a week. You need to stop it. One day a week. If you're going to run with your hair on fire, do that 6 days and take a day off. I want to warn you, it's going to be hard at first. If you're not in the habit of doing this, everything about you and everything about your family and everything about your world is going to fight against it. If you're seeking to honor God and take one day off, guess when all the stuff's going to try to happen? And the phone's going to turn this thing off. This phone's in my pocket. I can't reach it for the mic. If things might be emergencies, have somebody else they can call. You need one day in seven when you rest and you worship. You take the day off to focus. Put off thinking about work. Put off your technology. Facebook is not restful, y'all. That thing will be beeping at you. You trying to rest, nap, sleep, whatever. Doo-doo. And you got to look at it, don't you? Email, whatever your tone is. Turn all those tones off. It'll be okay. And you know what I discovered? The stuff I miss in my Facebook feed when I let it go? I didn't miss anything. If it's really important, they'll get in touch with you. Most of it's not. Put on. So you can't just put off. I can't just not do anything and not think anything. Put on thinking about God. Put on loving family. Put on some recreation. Just make sure you're not killing yourself with your recreation. Okay? The Sabbath. Jesus said this. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It was made to make us, stupid as we are, get some rest and have some time to think about Him. And it's not only, you're not going to go to hell if you work 7 days a week if you're trusting in Jesus, but you're going to get to heaven quicker. What makes our rest joyful? It's not just body rest, it's spirit rest. It's mind rest. See, we've been set free in Christ. Grace makes obedience joy. God has set us free. Jesus has fulfilled all those strict regulations. He has provided for us to enter in not just a physical rest, but God's rest and resting in Him in our salvation. So as we rest in Jesus, things become joyful. Look at Colossians 2:16 and 17. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival, a new moon, or a Sabbath. And that's a Sabbath. These are shadow of the things to come. But the substance, the reality, literally the body is Jesus, is Christ, belongs to Christ. Think of it this way. There's a light shining from eternity future and it shines on Jesus and Jesus casts a shadow, right? That shadow is the Old Testament. Jesus is the reality who fulfills all of that and takes us home. So a lot of that ceremonial regulation that was on the Sabbath was shadow that points us to rest in Jesus. So that we'll trust Him and live according to His Word and not work ourselves to death. Hebrews, you know, you'll hear this thing sometimes. People will say, well, yeah, I know the moral law is abiding, but only what is repeated. And 9 of the commandments are repeated and the one about the Sabbath is not. Take that out of your theology if it's rattling around in there. I just showed you one place it's talked about. Jesus talked about it being for man. But look at this. Hebrews says, so then there remains, as Hebrews 4:9-10, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. See, what we need to do is interpret the command in light of the fulfillment we have in Jesus so that we can really rest in Him and therefore flowing out of that get body rest without being legalists. Whoever has entered God's rest has rested from his works that God did from his. You need rest. You need 6 days of work too. You need one day of rest. And if it's not a day of worship, it's not a day of rest. So entering in spiritually into God's rest in Christ and flowing out of that rest of body, mind, and spirit with family, if you have the family. So you gather and rest in worship with your family of God, and then you go home and rest with your family. But remember, Jesus is about your rest. What did He say? Come to Me. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And He goes on to say that rest for your souls. Rest in Jesus so that you can rest in your heart and therefore get rest for your mind so that you can really rest your body and be refreshed so that those other 6 days as you're working as worship on mission for the King and delighting in Him every day, not just one or two a week. So are you resting spiritually in Christ alone? Quickly, are you trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone for your salvation? Do you believe He lived for you, fulfilling all righteousness, that He died for you to pay the penalty for your sins, that He was raised from the grave, showing that all the gospel is true, and that He gives you salvation as a free gift as you trust in Him? Are you trusting in Jesus? If not, trust Him today. God, have mercy on me, a sinner, as all the publican prayed. Lord Jesus, I trust You to save me. There's a million ways to say it, because it's an expression of a heart that has turned from its own selfishness and sin to trusting in Jesus as their Savior. So believe in Him. Trust your soul to Him. That is true and ultimate rest. And then, second question, are you resting spiritually in Jesus? Second, do you find joy in your job? Do you find joy? Are you a Christian that's not finding joy in your job? Then you haven't really gotten the gospel as it relates to your job. Go back and think about these things and being in the kingdom, being on mission. And listen, I want to end on this one. Do you get adequate physical rest? And do you train your family in that? You're not honoring Christ. You're not living for your King if you don't get adequate physical rest so that you have the energy to be on mission the rest of the week. Are you resting in Jesus, joying in your job, getting as adequate physical rest? Both our work and our rest are meant to be joyful and productive. Work 6 days with joy. Rest 1 day with joy. Celebrate this Labor Day by changing the way you think about work according to the Word and Gospel, and changing the way you think about rest according to the Word and the Gospel. 6 and 1 is the rhythm of a life of worship. And it's purchased for us by our King and faithful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, my plea is first and foremost, help us to rest. Help us to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Help us to turn from everything that opposes Christ and to trust in Jesus for our salvation. And then help us to live out that trust by believing You and that You command us for our good, that we can live on mission for You, that we can go and do daily worship tomorrow as we do our jobs, our calling, our vocation. Help us to work hard with joy and help us to rest hard with joy because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for such a great and such a free salvation. Lord, we give You praise and pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.